putting our hearts and our mind and our focus on you and just thinking about your love for us and that our time spent with regrets and shame and guilt when forgiveness is so readily available and accessible is such a waste of time. So God, help us to remind us to reach out to you, to cease wallowing in our shame and regret, and to receive your forgiveness and to get up and walk forward. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for making a way for us to have a relationship with you. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's delighted to see you this morning. So glad that you're here. When I was a college pastor working with college students, one day I received a call from a friend who helped lead another ministry. And she was saying that she was talking about a kid that was involved in their ministry. She said, I don't know if you know him, and I didn't know him. He was not involved in the ministry that I was a part of. But she said, I'd like for you to have lunch with him if you wouldn't mind, because I think he's very spiritually ready for to come to know Christ. And I'm a female, and I don't want to invite him to lunch, and I don't feel comfortable doing that. So could you have lunch with him? And I said, yes. And she said, he's been coming to our worship services. He's been coming to our Bible studies. He's very involved. He was first or second year engineering student. He was Japanese. He was an international student. His name was Rio, and Rio Hiratsuka. He graduated with an engineering degree and went back to Japan. That was many years ago. We're still friends on Facebook. But that was the first time I met him, and she said, would you have lunch with him? I said, sure. And so I gave him a call, and we set up lunch, and we went to Shoney's, and I remember we're sitting at Shoney's, and I remember the table that we were sitting at. And so we just started this conversation. I'm getting to know him and what he's interested in and all the kind of small talk that you do when you haven't met somebody. And then we just started talking about his involvement with this ministry and what he had been learning about Christ. And every question I was asking, he just was telling me all the things that he had learned. And so I began to talk about this relationship with God. And did he understand how to have a relationship with God? And he said, yes. And I said, do you understand what Jesus did for us? And he said, yes. And he told me that Jesus was God's son, and that God sent him and that to be a substitute for our sin. And he put it in his own words, and that Jesus had died on a cross so that we could ask for forgiveness for the wrong things we've done. And that was an opportunity for us to have a relationship with God, and that God came to dwell in our hearts. So I'm asking him these questions. Part of it's conversational. Part of it's me just, you know, asking him questions, and he's talking. It's very conversational, and we're talking. And so we talk about all these things, and then we get to to this place, this pivotal place, that for me, many times I've dropped the ball. But it's that pivotal place in a spiritual conversation that by asking the right question or offering the right thing, it can make all the difference in the world in what this person is about to do. And so it's not anything that I came up with. It's been done for 2,000 years. And so I just said, since you know all that, which it sounds like you know it all, is that something you want? And he said, yes. And I said, is that something that you're ready to do today? And he said, yes. And I'm thinking, why don't I do this every day? This is easy. You know what I'm saying? And so it felt so easy. But the reason that it was easy is because so many people had invested in him. And so on the way, me taking him back to his dorm or campus or dropping him off for class or whatever, I said, why don't we just stop by my house and let's just open up the scriptures and talk just a little bit more. And so we did. And we looked at the scriptures and talked a little bit more. And he asked Christ to come into his life. And what I remember from that, what stands out to me is this, and I love that ministry and I love those people, but one of the things that had happened was he had been coming for a long time, and he was involved in fellowships, and he was going to places, and so many people had been faithful to invite him. So many people had been faithful to invite him to worship services and invite him to Bible studies, invite him on crazy fun events that students were doing, but somebody still just kind of needed to invite him to Jesus. And that was the only thing that was left. And that story and that memory comes to my mind over and over and over so many times about the importance of invitation. I could have spent an hour of lunch with him. We could have talked about everything under the sun. We could have talked about Jesus. We could have talked about everything. But without an invitation, see, his life wasn't going to change. I didn't change his life. God changed his life. He could have easily said, when I said, is that something that you think you need to do? And he could have said yes. And then I could have said, is that something you want to do today? And he could have said no. And I've had plenty of conversations like that. You see, the role for me, the job for me, is I can't answer it for him. That's God's Holy Spirit that works in him. That's his obedience or disobedience. It's just my job to just ask the question. You know what I'm saying? And he wasn't offended by it. And he didn't get up and storm away or anything like that. But here's what we're talking about today. And this sermon is not about helping you and teaching you to invite people to Christ. Although there's a place for that, and we talk about that, and we will talk about that. What we're talking about today is the ease of being able to invite somebody to church. Now, that's a whole lot easier than even inviting somebody to Christ, right? I mean, getting to know somebody and build a relationship, that's hard work. Building somebody's trust and having spiritual conversations, sometimes that can take a lot of work. But you know what? Inviting somebody to church is really, really easy. Now, this is the Sunday before Easter, and typically what most guys do, people do that do what I do, is there's one of two themes they talk about. One is either Palm Sunday, and I've talked a lot on Palm. This is Palm Sunday, according to the liturgical calendar, the church calendar, because today represents the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and people laid down branches for him to come in. He was received as the Messiah, coming into the city by many who believed in him. And then later in that week is when he was crucified and resurrected, which we will celebrate next Sunday on Easter, his resurrection, his new life, and our opportunity to have new life as well. I've talked about Palm Sunday many, many Sundays, but what I've done the last few years is talk about how easy it is for you and I to invite. And maybe you don't even invite somebody this week. What I'm hoping is that invitation becomes a natural part of my life and your life. But I will say this. Invitation, the easiest time of the year for you and I to invite someone to church, just to invite them to church, is going to be Easter, Christmas, when you know somebody in their life that's having a baptism, a wedding, some sort of a baby dedication, those type of ceremonies. People are so willing to come to those. Oh, they may not come to the church, like they don't really want to go to that church on a regular basis, but they'll come to see somebody baptized. But you know what happens when they come see somebody baptized? They see a picture of the gospel. You know, it's why when people are baptized, we give them invitations. We give them like a dozen invitations to send out to all their friends and family that aren't in church and say, have them come because they're going to hear the gospel that day. And you know what? We've had people come to know Christ on those days. Here's the thing. We're not talking about having spiritual conversations to invite people to Christ. We're talking about just inviting people to church. And listen, this is a great opportunity for me to talk to you about that, because this could be a good week for you to do it, because you already know, I've already started talking. You've already got people coming to your mind already that, oh my goodness, you know, God always seems to bring that person to my mind. And maybe you invite them this week and maybe you don't. My biggest goal for you, hopefully, is that becomes a natural part of our life. Why would I want that to be a natural part of my life? Why should it be a natural part of your life? It's not because Scott said so. It's not just because of tradition. It's not because of duty or guilt or responsibility or any of those things. It's just because that is the model of the Scriptures. All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, all through the life of Jesus, all through the teachings of Paul, all of the New Testament, we could read almost every passage. Almost every, probably every passage of the New Testament has a component of invitation. Jesus is getting to know people. He's inviting them into relationship. He's inviting them to know God. Paul is inviting people into a relationship with God. It is in our, if you're a believer, it's in your DNA. It's who we are. When you read the Scriptures, you can't walk away the same as when you picked up the Scriptures. Now, here's one of the things that you will never be a person that invites people, let's just say, to church, because that's a good place to start. You'll never be a person, I will never be a person that invites someone to church because I'm supposed to. That'll just never last. I'll never be a person that invites somebody to church if I feel guilty about it, if I feel like it's my duty, it's just my responsibility. You might do it once, you know, you might do it twice. But it's not going to be a regular part of my life. You know why? Because it's not from inside. It's not from the outside. It's what I feel like I'm supposed to do. Now, the only way that I'm going to start seeing people, and you're like, well, Scott, what do you mean? It is our duty, right? It is our responsibility, right? Yeah, it is. But the only time that I'm going to do it as part of my lifestyle is when something on the inside of me changes. What needs to change on the inside of me? What needs to change on the inside of you? I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. It'll be up here on the screen if you've got your Bibles. It's in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, what does that mean? All Scripture hangs on those two things. On those two commandments, it says. So here's when I begin to, and my heart begins to, and my mind and my soul and my strength begins to love God, and I begin to love people, then it's going to be a lot easier for me to invite. Now, how does that happen? Well, I am a selfish person, and you are a selfish person. We were born into selfishness. We were born into sin. My leaning, my inclination is to watch after me. And even on my best days, I'm still thinking about mowing my yard and getting my kids fed and paying my mortgage and going about my calendar and doing my thing and taking my kids to their practices and going to their games. Is there anything wrong with that? No, that's all good stuff. But if I do that void of any other interest in other people, yes. It's not that those things are bad, it's just they're incomplete. Because God made me for more than that, and He made you for more. God made you for more than your spouse. God made you for more than your kids. God made you for more than your family. God made you to love people. And God made me to love people. And God made us to love Him. And to the extent that you and I don't do that, there's going to be a restlessness inside of you. Now, some of you are struggling with a restlessness today, and you don't even know why it is. And the reason is because we have yet to step into loving Him. Now, here comes the question. If I were to say, is inviting people a regular part of your life? That just that DNA, that just you just see people, you see them through the lens of Christ, you see people that don't know Christ, and you're thinking, how can I invite them? How can I get to know them? How can I build a bridge with them? How can I have a relationship with them? How can I enter into a conversation with them? That may just be about just mutual interest. It may not even be about the Bible. But God, one day I want to have a spiritual conversation. Is that something that's kind of a regular part of your life? I ask myself that question. If not, then the reason is you don't love people enough. And we don't love God enough. Now, you could get really easily offended if you wanted to say, now, Scott, are you saying that I don't love people and I don't love God? No. I'm sure you love people. Some of the best people I know go to this church. You know, my best friends. It's why I love this church, why I love these people. Good people. We love people. I mean, we are hospitable. We love our families. But it's just that we haven't stepped into loving people enough. Because when we love people the way Jesus loves people, invitation will be a natural part of our life. Nobody has to tell me. Nobody has to guilt me. Nobody has to pry me into doing it. I just do it. So how do I get to that place? How do you get to that place where you want to, where you find joy in it, where you're praying for people and you're celebrating when God does something in their life? How do you get to that place? It's so simple. It is so simple. It's not complicated. The more time I spend getting to know God, the more I know His thoughts. The more time you spend getting to know Jesus, the more you want to become like Jesus. And you know where that happens? It happens early in the morning on the end of your couch when it's very, very quiet. About 10 minutes a day. It's so easy. It happens on your back porch. It happens at your desk at work. It happens when there's no distractions and you're just Maybe you're using your imagination like I've encouraged you to do before, and you're sitting on the edge of your couch and it's quiet in your house, and you just picture your Heavenly Father sitting on the other end of the couch, and you're just having a conversation. And you just pick up the Word and you just read a passage, 5 verses, 10 verses. You think about it, 10 minutes. You know what? Not only will it change your day, not only will it change your week, it'll change your life. And you know what happens in those? When you read and you read and you read and you read about God's heart for people, and you read and you read and you read about Jesus' invitation to people, you and I go, wow, my yard, my money, my weekend, my vacation, my family, all it's just my, God. And your Word is so much more, and it just pushes against the grain of everything that I'm living for. It just pushes all against me. All those good things, they're just not the best things. Because I have yet to grasp hold of your thoughts. I've yet to grasp hold of your values. That I would think and look through your lens at people who are going to spend an eternity somewhere, and that my desire would be to get to know them and invite them. And if all I do is just invite them to church, if all I do is just invite them over to my house so that I can get to know them, so that maybe one day we can have a spiritual conversation, if all that I do is just invite them to church, God, help me to think like that, be like that. But you know what happens? When you and I get to know God, when you and I spend time with Jesus, we think the thoughts of Jesus, and that's when it starts happening from the inside out. And you become that kind of person. Do you know people like that? I do. They're contagious. You know why they're contagious? Do you know how people were drawn to Jesus? When you begin thinking the thoughts of Jesus and putting into practice the motives and the actions of Jesus, people just know it and they see it. Not everybody's drawn to it. Some people are repelled by the light. They like darkness better. That's my job and your job, is to penetrate that darkness and be light. So let's talk a little bit this morning about how to do that. We love God and we love people. That's what he wants us to do. I just want to share with you 3 quick things that I totally ripped off from Perry Noble, who's the pastor of New Spring Church. 3 things I'm going to share with you. Now, here's the deal. When it comes to you and I in inviting people, when you're beginning to be transformed by Jesus, when you're beginning to think his thoughts, and you're seeing people the way he sees people, nobody has to convince you to invite people. Do you see the 11 disciples after Jesus is he's crucified and he's resurrected, and then they add a 12th, so really the 12 disciples. In the early church, after Jesus is resurrected and goes to heaven, and the church explodes in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, in Europe and Asia, and the disciples and Paul begin to go around. They begin to plant churches and share the gospel. Do you know why they did that? Nobody was in their face all the time saying, now you need to go out there and share Jesus. You need to go out there and build churches, and you need to be inviting. Nobody was guilting them. Nobody was pressuring them. You know why it came so natural? Because they had spent 3 years with Jesus. Because they knew his thoughts. They knew what he wanted. They knew that he was like that. That was just a natural part of their life. For you and I, when it comes to, and let's just go back, when it comes to inviting someone to church, do you know when people are the most receptive? When people are the most receptive when they're in transition. And that means they're in transition because they just graduated from college, they just got married, they're just having their first child, they're just going into the preschool years, they're just going into the teenage years, they're just going into the empty nest years, they've just taken a new job, they've just lost their job, they've just found out about a sickness, they've just found out about a death, they've just found out that things are not going really well, they've just had some financial pressure. Listen, if you know 12 people that don't go to church, 10 of them are probably in the middle of transition. position. And people are there is a need. There is a need, and some people don't even know how, when they're going through it, if they're not, and I'm just going to say churchgoer, many who are probably not believers, but there is a need within them, and sometimes they don't even know how to get that need met. And so when you offer an invitation to somebody of, and listen, this is what I want to give you a handle this morning. I'm going to give you the easiest thing in the world that you can say that's so non-offensive, that's so comfortable for you to be able to say, to be able to ask a question and make a statement that can make all the difference in somebody's life. You know what that is? And we'll go over it again at the very end of the sermon. The easiest thing in the world for you to say to that friend that you work with, to that person that comes by your office and he's the guy that drops off packages on a regular basis, it's the lady at the convenience store that you see all the time, you're almost on a first name basis, it's the person you've worked with for a long time, the person that's in your family, it's the person that right now you're thinking about, or the people that you're thinking about of wow, I'd like to get to know them, or that's somebody I could get to know, that's somebody I could invite to church. The easiest thing in the world to be able to ask somebody is this: so is there somewhere you go on a regular basis that you really enjoy? Is there a church that you go to on a regular basis that you really enjoy? And you know what? That's so non-offensive to people. People will just start saying, well, I don't go on a regular basis, or I did go to this place that I really enjoyed and I don't enjoy it anymore. Yes, I do go to a place I really enjoy. You're like, oh, that's awesome. Or you have people just open up, you know? And listen, are you going to be scared saying that sometimes? Yes. Are you going to be intimidated? Yes. Is your heart going to beat fast? Yes. It's natural for all of us. It happens to me. It happens to you all the time. But for you to be able to say, is there a church you go to on a regular basis that you really enjoy? So non-offensive. And whatever their response is, if it's no, I don't, or no, for you to be able to say, you know what? I love the church I go to. I'd love for you to come with me anytime you'd like to. Would you like to do that? So easy, you know? Or are you going to feel like your mouth gets dry? Are you going to feel like your tongue gets big? Yeah, probably. The first few times that you do it, the first few times that you ask because you've never done it before, and you feel like it's this huge thing to you, but it's not really a huge thing to them, you know? Here's what I want to encourage you with, three thoughts that I think is good for us to keep in mind when we're thinking about people who are not connected. You and I have the opportunity to make a huge difference in someone's life when it comes to a personal relationship with Jesus. And it might start with just inviting somebody to church. It doesn't mean that you're preaching to them. It doesn't mean that you think you're better than them. They're not going to take it that way. It doesn't mean that you're preachy. It doesn't mean that you're judgy. You know, all those things that we think, if I say that, they're going to think this. Doesn't mean that at all. Three things to keep in mind. First thing is this: everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. Everybody. Every person has a soul. There's only two places, heaven or hell. So for me and for you, it's Jesus, here's a great prayer. Help me in all the good things that I do and all the good things I'm involved in about my family and my home and my schedule and my business, and I feel like I don't even have enough time to do those things well. Help me see people the way you see people. Because you know the way Jesus saw people? Constantly engaging with people. Constantly, there was some sort of element of invitation with every person that he was coming in contact with throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus' life. So Jesus, help me see people the way you see them. Now, it doesn't mean that we have got to have Bible study with the UPS guy. No. It doesn't mean that I've got to have a come to Jesus meeting. No. Let's just start with the friendship. And somehow, if somebody says, what did you do this weekend? And you go, I went to church. And then we went to lunch, and then some conversation happens, and somehow through that conversation, you're able to say, is there a church that you go to on a regular basis that you enjoy? Because there's a couple things that come up there, regular basis and enjoy. You're going to hear a lot of answers about, no, I don't enjoy. You're going to hear a lot of, well, I used to and I don't, and maybe I did or I never have. You'll hear a lot of that. We hear those stories all the time. It's been a long time. This is the first church I've gone to in a long time that I enjoy. Love hearing it. It's not because of me. Listen, if the only thing that people get is that they love the sermon and the music was great and it's a really exciting place to be, we've totally missed the mark. Because our purpose here is to share Jesus. I mean, it's all about Him. And you can accomplish all those other things without making it about Him. So here's the deal. Jesus, would you just help me see people the way you see people? And when you and I do, you know what happens? I start seeing people in the eternal destiny. I start seeing people. I don't know where that person's headed. By everything that I see, I don't see a spiritual hunger. I don't see a spiritual connection. I don't see any evidence. I'm not judging. I'm not a judge. I'm just saying, based on the evidence that I see, I don't see a connection with Christ. God, would you just give me a love for that person? Would you give me the wisdom? Would you give me the boldness to be able to say what I need to say? Listen to these. I don't know how to turn my Bible around, but I did. Would you just listen to this verse here, Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them or inviting them to hear preaching? Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So, everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. Just keep that in mind. Second thing is this, don't say no for people. I do it. I've done it 1,000 times. We say no for people. God puts somebody on our mind. It's a family member. It's a work associate. It's somebody we know on a regular, we see on a regular basis. And God pops that person into your mind. And what's one of your first thoughts? Oh, I'm going to sound like a crazy person. They're going to think I'm a fanatic. They're never going to talk to me again. This is going to be so uncomfortable. I'll pray for somebody else to invite them. You know, I've said those things. I've thought those things. You know why? Because it's a little scary, you know, if you haven't done it before, if you haven't invited somebody to church before, it's just kind of, listen, that's just if you were just using a gauge, if you're using some sort of blood pressure mechanism, if you were using some sort of heart monitor, you know what, that when I feel that tension and I don't want to, you know, it's just telling me where my heart is. It's just kind of a monitor saying, oh, Scott, your heart's not where it totally needs to be. Because you haven't done this much. And that's okay. But what you and I need to do is go, you know what? I don't need to say no for people. If they're going to say no, let them say no. And many people are going to say no. You can invite 30 people and 30 people could say no. You know? But don't say no for them. I mean, God puts somebody on your heart, just ask that easy question. Is there a place that, do you go to church anywhere on a regular basis that you really enjoy? Let them say no. But you know what? This is what's going to happen. Do you know what happened for Rio here at Suka and what happens for millions of people? They only say yes when somebody invites them. And they'll never come if nobody invites them. And it may be the 13th person or the 25th person or the 40th person or the 100th person that invites them. And you may be one of those many no's. You may invite the same person over and over and over several times. And they may say no to you every time. But they're going to say yes to somebody one day. And you may be the person that they say yes to. But here's the deal. They'll never say yes. They don't have the opportunity to say yes if they're not invited. They got to be invited. My role and your role is, God, help, don't prevent me from saying no for anybody. One of the many things I love about my wife and one of the many things I've seen in my wife over the last 24 years of ministry that I see that I want to be like that is this. She's worked with college students for half of our marriage. She's worked with probably high school and middle school students for half of our marriage. And you have students coming in and out all the time for different reasons. Someone will be active in ministry and getting close to God, and then they'll stray away for many different reasons. They'll you won't see them for 6 months or a year or whatever. And you think, where are they? What's going on? And you're constantly checking and talking to friends and talking with other adults and praying for them and hoping. And I've seen my wife do this over and over and over. Text somebody once a week for a year. Call somebody, send somebody an email. Just stay in touch with somebody every other week for 2 years. And I'm the kind of person sometimes I would be like, golly, I mean, really? I mean, aren't they going to kind of get ticked off? Aren't they going to be like, leave me alone? Aren't they going to be kind of like, you know, just, and it's, we've had those conversations before, and it's like, well, they're not here anyway, and I'm just telling them I love them and we miss them. And then I always feel like a heel, like, what, how do you come back from we love you and we miss you? I mean, you know, you're just telling somebody we love you and we miss you. Do you know how many stories I have heard from students who've said, it's only because you didn't give up on me. The fact that when I was not where I needed to be for so long, and I kept getting texts, and I kept getting phone calls, and I kept getting a birthday card, and I kept getting a touch from you, it just let me know. I knew I wasn't where I needed to be, but I knew there was a place I could come back to. That's the power of invitation. Is that when you and I just go, you know what, here's the third thing. You're not responsible for the answer. You're only responsible for the ask. You're only responsible for the ask. God just says to you, all I want you to do is ask them. All I want you to do is invite them. Listen, I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to work with them. You're not in charge of the answer. Do you know it? Now, for me, it took me a long time to learn this, but when I finally learned this in ministry, just as a pastor, as a leader, as planning a church, that you know what? The results are God's. And the same way as yours, when you're having a conversation with somebody, and if they tell you no, you're just like, okay, that's all right. You know, God, I asked. I'm gonna keep praying for this person. I'm gonna pray somebody else ask them. I'm gonna pray that they say yes to you at some point. But I'm just gonna ask. I'm just gonna, God, help me to be faithful in the middle of my heart beating really fast, in the fact that I'm sitting here at this restaurant and you have literally asked me 5 times to invite my wait person to ask them if they go to church anywhere on a regular basis that they enjoy. You've asked me to ask them that 5 times and I haven't yet. Help remind me, God, that even through my fear, and even though my heart's beating, and even though my tongue feels thick, it's just my responsibility to ask. Do you know that your ask can make all the difference in the world for somebody? It'll never happen because you sit in a sermon. It just won't. It'll never happen because I told you it's important. It'll only happen when you go home, you start spending time with Jesus, and He transforms your heart to think His thoughts. I can guarantee, there's a lot of things that I can't guarantee you. I can guarantee you that one. If 100 out of 100 people walk out of here and nobody spends time with Jesus, none of us will invite anybody because we're going to be bent toward our own selfish ways. And we'll dress it up as that I'm loving my spouse and I'm loving my kids and I'm trying to make a living and I'm trying to provide for my family and all those things are good. But my heart will not be bent toward Jesus and I will not love people enough and I will not love God enough because the only way that happens is through a relationship with Him. And listen, if there was another way to have a great relationship with God other than spending time with Him and getting in a quiet place for 10 minutes a day, I think I would have figured it out by now because I've tried everything in the world and I have been in too many holes that I've had to dig myself out of. I've been so far away from God on so many multiple occasions and every time is because I fell out of a relationship with Him. And the same thing's true in your life. There just is no other substitute. There's no other substitute to having a great relationship with God and seeing people the way He wants you to see them, void of spending time with Him. When I graduated from college, I was 22 years old, and I spent a year working before I went to graduate school. And that year that I worked, I was a youth pastor. I told one of my kids that this past week, and they looked at me like, "You were a youth pastor?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it was really cool one day." And so I was working with middle school and high school students at this church for a year and not knowing how long it would take me to go to seminary. But after about a year, I saw how much I didn't know and I wanted to go and I did. And so, but during that year, I went on my first mission trip. I'd never been on a mission trip when I was growing up as a teenager or in college. And I was part of this church. I was about 22, 23. And I went I was on staff at the church, but I wasn't leading the trip. And we went to West Virginia. We went to Peach Creek, West Virginia. And someone told us while we were on that trip that it was the poorest county in West Virginia. And West Virginia at that time was either 49th or 50th as far as poverty in the nation. And so we were in what we considered, as poverty in the United States goes, one of the poorest places. And when we got there, we saw it. It was a rural area, and it was the summertime. It was July, and kids were out of school. And they came because we spent a couple of days just going and knocking on houses and walking miles and miles and miles of gravel and dirt roads and meeting people that weren't in church and inviting their kids to come. And kids were just looking for something to do. And so we did that. Had a ton of kids come there, a ton of unchurched people come there. And I remember I was really stretched during that trip because I was thinking, you know, God wants me to talk to these kids about Jesus. And so I had to teach one day, and I hadn't done a lot of teaching, and I taught one day, and I think I taught the Christmas story, and I thought, this is really weird, it's July, and I'm teaching the Christmas story, and this just feels strange. And I thought, you're only supposed to read that, you know, the week of Christmas. And so, but I was teaching these kids about the birth of Jesus, and I remember thinking the whole time, we're here to share Jesus with people. We're here to share the gospel. We're here to see people's lives changed. And so at the end of that week, when we wrapped up, one of the things that we did with the kids, we asked them to kind of just write some notes about what the week had meant to them, because we wanted to share that with people back at church that didn't get to go on the mission trip. We wanted to share it with RAs and GAs, and if you're not familiar with that, it's a missions organization for kids. We want to share it with adults. We want to say, here's the people that were impacted on this trip. Here's what they had to say. So I get back to my office the Monday or whatever. When we get back, we've been gone for a week, and you've got just stuff all over the office because we just got back from a mission trip and all these supplies, and I've got this kind of this envelope, or this big envelope of all these letters that kids have written. I thought, now this is the first, before I get involved in all this mess of cleanup, I'm going to read these letters. First letter I picked out, I knew who the kid was. He's about 12 years old. And I picked out his card, and I read it, and he said something to this effect, thank you so much for coming to talk to us about Jesus. I had been hoping that somebody would talk to us about Jesus, and this week was great. And the first thought that went through my mind, I don't know if he was invited to come to know Jesus. I didn't. And the first thought that went through my mind is, I have just gone on a mission trip. I've given a week of my life for 7 days. I didn't invite anybody to come to know Jesus. I spent time. I talked about Jesus. I built friendships. I loved people. But I didn't invite anybody. And in a split second, in the same split second, I knew what the Holy Spirit was saying was, you need to go back and talk to that kid. And so I literally got up from my desk and I went and saw my pastor, and I'm thinking, you know, sometimes you just know God said something. Sometimes you doubt yourself. This was no doubt. I went to my pastor and I said, if I can have the day off, I need to have the day off. This was early in the morning. He said, what are you going to do? And I told him, I've got to go back and I've got to talk to these kids about this kid about Jesus. And he said, I'm not going to stand in the way. I'm going to tell you, God's not telling you something to do, because I would never do that. But I just want to help you process what you're hearing. And he's trying to make sure that I wasn't just doing something emotional or whatever. And so I got in the car and drove 6.5 hours to Peach Creek, West Virginia. The last hour is off the main road, and it's just windshield wipers trying to keep the dust off because it's just dirt roads. And so I drove all the way back to back when you had to have a Rand McNally Big Atlas in your car. And I drove all the way back. I drove to that kid's house because I had been to his house to invite them. And when I got there, he was on a really long driveway that went up to a really old house. And I remember this kid saying that his mom worked a full-time job, and the only other person in that house was their grandfather. He was bedridden, and he and his 9-year-old brother took care of their grandfather every day. And I remember standing on that driveway, and there was 3 kids there. And I got out, and I just started talking. They're like, what are you doing here? And I said, I just came to see you guys. And so I just started talking with them. And I'm talking to this 12-year-old kid, because I'm saying, hey, I got your letter, and just, you know, we talked about Jesus this week. Yeah, and all this stuff. And I'm talking about Christ. Now, there's another kid that's standing there. He's like 14, 15 years old. And then there's this 12-year-old kid's little 8, 9-year-old brother standing there. And I'm talking to this kid, and I'm saying, I came back. The reason I came back is because I wanted to see if you feel like you know Jesus. And he said, no. I said, do you feel like you have a relationship? Do you feel like Jesus is in your heart? No. And so I started, and the whole time I'm talking, this little 8-year-old kid is going, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. He's like butting in over and over. I'm like, kid, I came to see your brother. You know, I didn't say that, but I'm like talking to this 8-year-old. I want to know Jesus. I'm over and over and over. And so I talked to this kid, and we finally come to the end of that. And I said, is that something that you feel like you need? And he said, yes. And I said, is that something you want to do today? And he said, yes. And 8-year-old is talking over us. I want to, too. And so I'm like kind of scared because I'm like, I don't know how much he understands. And I looked at his brother and he said, he knows. He read my mind. The 12-year-old, he goes, he knows. So I asked him a couple questions and felt confident. And so, and then I looked at this like 15-year-old kid, been there listening to everything we had to say. And I said, you've been listening to everything we had to say. Is that something that's true for you in your heart? He said, no. I said, is that something you feel like you need? He said, yes. I said, is that something you feel like you want to do today? He said, no, I don't want to do that today. I said, okay. And so with him there, with those other two kids, we got on our knees in that dirt, and they prayed on their own. First time I ever gave away my Bible, given away Bibles many times. That Bible I'd had for a long, long time. Given away many Bibles since then, but that one was one I had forever, you know, a ton of stuff. And I said, here, take this. And what I want you to hear from that is this. I mean, you know, just the scripture says that, you know, the angels rejoice in heaven when one comes to know him. You know, I had 6.5 hours all the way back to Hickory, North Carolina to rejoice. I don't know that there could have been any more rejoicing than what I was doing on the way back. But here's the thing I want you to hear. Not that Scott Sparks did a great job and he drove 6.5 hours, 13 hours round trip to share the gospel with two little kids that bowed and asked Jesus into their heart, which was an incredible experience. But it's that I came that close to two little boys not being invited because I didn't invite them all week long. And what I'm saying to you is this. Today's message is not about, I want you to go out and share the gospel. It would be great if we did. It's not about even entering into spiritual conversations. It would be great if we did. All I'm talking about today is just inviting people to church. But one thing I know that's going to be true 100% of the time is nobody will ever go anywhere they're not invited. It is only by invitation that people will say yes. And you and I have the difference. We have the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives by simply saying. Is there any place that you go to church on a regular basis that you really enjoy? We'd love for you to come with us sometime. Would you like to do that? The simplest, and let me tell you, it doesn't mean your heart's going to beat fast. You know, you're going to be a little scared. But just don't say no for people. Offer the invitation. You're only responsible for the ask. Would you bow your head? Let's pray together. God, thank you for pursuing us. You are the great inviter. You are the one who has invited us and pursued us and wooed us and asked us to enter in relationship with you over and over and over. So anything that we would want to do or to be, we only have to look to you. But God, I thank you too for the people you've put in our lives that have invited us. For some of us, it's our parents. We've never known a time where we didn't know about Christ or didn't go to church. It was just our parents that invited us. For some of us, it was later in life. It was a friend. It was a spouse. It was maybe even a stranger that invited us or multiple people that invited us. Thank you for the many faithful people that prayed for us, that loved us, that spent their time and prayers and money and convenience and were inconvenienced for us. Thank you for those people. Help us to not just be that way once a year, but help us to be that way. Help that to be our lifestyle. Help us to get to know you, to enter into relationship with you, and to want to become like you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you this. There's no way that we're going to walk out of here today without inviting you to come to know Christ. You may be sitting there this morning and you're like, I'm that person. I'm that person. I'm that little kid. I know everything Jesus has done. I've just never said yes. I've never surrendered. I've been scared. I've been worried about what I'll have to give up. Listen, trusting to know that Jesus died on a cross for you, which you didn't see happen, that's faith. Trusting that He did it for your sins, that's faith. But here's another part of faith. Trusting to believe that all the questions that you don't have answered about the future, He's going to take care of. He's going to take care of. I want to ask you in this moment, all you have to do, you don't even have to bow your head. Do you know that? Do you know if you grew up in a Baptist church, you don't even have to walk down the aisle and sign a card to come to know Jesus? Did you know you don't have to pray with a pastor to come to know Jesus? All you have to do is in your heart, in your soul, this is your invitation. I'm giving it to you right now. I invite you to say yes to Jesus. I invite you to enter into the best relationship you have ever known. And you may be scared. You may have questions. I just want to invite you to do that. Would you just close your eyes and bow your head? I just want to give you a minute of privacy. I'm going to give you a minute to just kind of pray on your own. Just to do business with God. And then I'm going to close this in prayer here in just a second. Would you just talk to God? Maybe it's not that you're saying yes to become a Christian. Maybe it's just that you need to get some stuff right with God. He's just reminded you of some things this morning. Your priorities are really out of whack. It's not maybe something I said. It's something God's been talking to you about. You just need to get right with God this morning. So just talk to Him about whatever it is that's on your heart. Would you do that? Father, I thank You for every boy and girl, every young woman and young man, teenagers, college students, single adults, young adults. I thank You for every person that's here this morning that have had the opportunity to hear from You. I thank You for loving us. Thank You for changing us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be down here gathering my things and getting ready to go. And so when this service is over, if you need to talk to somebody, if you made a decision that you want to talk to somebody about today, I'll be down here. I'll be happy to talk with you. When you came in through those doors back there, you got a handout. If you open that up, it says guest and next steps. If you took a next step today, we would love to know about that. If you said yes to asking Jesus into your heart, if God's doing something in you and you have a prayer request, write that prayer request on that. We're getting ready to take up our offering here in just a second. You can drop it in that basket. If you want to get plugged into a small group Bible study, if you want to be baptized, maybe that's your next step. Just put it on that card or come see me. I'll be happy to talk to you. A couple things that are going on this week. First is next Sunday's Easter. Don't forget that. Our service is the same time, 10:30. Bring family and friends with you. Maybe you'll even invite somebody this week. Second thing is that today our middle school and high school students are invited to go see the movie Risen. Risen came out about a month ago. It's still playing at Regal Pinnacle. And so middle school and high school students are going to meet at the home of George and Julie Beeler at 3:30. They'll be back there around 7. The movie, like I said, is out in West Knoxville. I've seen this advertised. I've not seen it myself. It looks like a great message. It's told from the perspective of a Roman soldier who's a doubter and experiences the resurrection of Jesus. And so they're going to go see that today. And so if you need more information about that, you can stop by the student table on the way out. We're going to take up our offering here in just a moment. And then after our offering, we'll be dismissed. Would you pray with me? God, thank You for the way that You provide for all of our needs, everything that we have. Thank You for our opportunity to give and to make a difference. And we ask that these gifts that are given today would be used for that purpose, to do the thing that we've talked all morning about, helping people to come to know Jesus and helping people to become more like Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
great to have you guys. Have